Sisters and brothers, grace and peace are yours today from our God who creates the earth and all of us in it, from Jesus who redeems us, and from the Holy Spirit who breathes life in and among us. Amen. Last week, while I was out and about one evening, I ran into one of our ministry partners, what we call members here at Spirit of Joy. I asked her about her day, and the individual said that a few hours prior, she had run into some snags, some things that were not coming together as she had hoped. They were the kind of bumps in the road that can easily add up and ruin a day. She had felt frustrated, she said. She felt stuck. And it was at that point, at the point of feeling stuck, that she decided to go for a hike. She knew that the antidote to her disheartened outlook was some time in open spaces. And she said it did help. I told her that I totally get it, the visceral need for a nature fix. It's for that reason that John and I went through hours and hours of packing and unpacking last weekend just for one night of camping. It was amazing what some fresh air did for my own outlook on life, no thanks to the great Nat revival of 2019. Sometimes nothing soothes the snag-stuck soul like a few trees on a trail. In case you don't recognize this beauty, it is Good Earth at Blood Run, just east and south of Sioux Falls. As it turns out, several studies back up these experiences this ministry partner and I shared in our conversation. According to a 2010 study published by Biomed Central Limited, time in natural environments can decrease feelings of sadness, anger, and anxiety. Another study published in the Social Science and Medicine Journal out of the Netherlands connects persons living in urban areas with more green space, with higher life satisfaction, and with lower instances of mental health distress. Connection to the natural world reminds us of who we are. It grounds us in our identity as creatures of the great Creator, called to delight in and care for the earth and for one another. Well, today is Trinity Sunday, a day when our tradition calls us back to the very identity of God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, or as we sometimes say, Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. The tradition calls us back into this identity of the one who creates, the one who redeems, and the one who sustains. Trinity Sunday is certainly not the only time we ask, but it is especially a time when we ask, who is God? And we discover then that the question, who is God, is inextricably linked to the question, who am I, or who are we? These questions about who God is can quickly send us down a theological rabbit hole of confusion. The triune God is a mystery, after all. If you've spent any time thinking about the mystery of the Holy Three in One, but for all we do not understand about the blessed Three in One, the One in Three, for all we cannot confidently claim about the inner workings of the three persons of the Trinity, we can confidently claim that our God is fundamentally a God of relationships and connection. Our God is a multifaceted relationship within God's own self, and our God comes to us in and through relationships. An eternal relationship dwells within God's own self as Father, Son, and Spirit, or as Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer. All relational words, these words saying who God is and how God functions with us and for us. And God encounters us through relationships, through encounters with the relational, the natural world, with Jesus, the Word made flesh, with fellow members of the body of Christ, and with neighbors who call us into connection and community. So the questions of who is God and who am I are connected questions. God is the divine being who creates, forgives, and sustains us. And then within the very life of God, we are invited into God's own acts of creation, forgiveness, and sustenance. We receive these gifts from God, and God invites us to share them with the world God loves. If you're like me, as you consider moments of darkness or sadness in your own life, in the past or maybe now, they were or are moments of separation, of loss of relationship. Perhaps there was or is a sense of distance from God or from people who love you or once loved you, a sense of separation from the communion of saints, both living and departed, or a sense of separation from the earth. There are moments when we have forgotten, or perhaps factors in life have made us lose sight of who God is and who we are in the life of God. There are moments of separation from God and our identity within God, moments when we have strayed from creating, forgiving, and breathing in God's spirit of life. And then we go for a hike, or a friend visits us or calls us, or the scriptures are opened to us in a new way, or we feast on the body and blood of Jesus Christ, or we remember the water and word of baptism that we are beloved children of God and nothing can change that. And once again, through these encounters, the triune God makes God's self known in moments of relationship restoration, of reconnection, in encounters that remind us of who God is and who we are. I wonder if the writer of Psalm 8 was in that place of stuckness before she wrote the song we heard and read today. Just like the ministry partner I talked to this week, or like me oftentimes, and maybe you, maybe things weren't going right in her day, this writer of Psalm 8. Or maybe in her world, things were falling apart, and so she hit the trails. Though the psalm writer may not have consciously considered a hike a theological exercise, I would venture a guess that she sought some fresh air for a reconnection with God and with her own identity in the life of God. And then wherever it is she landed, whatever desert spot or state park or hidden escape, wherever it was, through the experience, she seems to have grasped a new understanding of God and of the world and her place in it. And she cannot help but sing praises to this God who meets her there. O Lord, our sovereign, she says, how majestic is your name in all the earth. She basks in the many and varied creations of God surrounding her, stars and sheep and oxen, birds and beasts and fish. And in the middle of it all, she stands, she and all of humanity. Who am I, she asks, in the middle of this vast scope of the heavens and the earth? Who am I, God, that you care for me in the middle of all of this? With all these stars and sheep and oxen to worry about, who am I that you are still mindful of little old me? The translation we read this morning pluralizes the question to what are human beings that you are mindful of us? But actually in the original Hebrew, it is singular, literally, who is man that you are mindful of him? We can broaden it to who is woman? Who are we? Who am I that you are mindful of me? God is mindful of each person, the psalmist says. God is concerned about each woman and man and child and infant. In fact, so much so that God has entrusted us with the care of this majestic creation. The psalmist writes, you have given us dominion over all things. You have put all things under our feet. In the Message interpretation of the Bible, Eugene Peterson translates this verse, you have put us in charge of your handcrafted world, repeated to us your Genesis charge to have dominion over the earth. In the scope of the creation, God has made us co-creators, gardeners, caretakers. And if the latest updates on human effects on climate change teach us anything, it is that God got into some risky business by giving us dominion over all things. Dominion, the call was, care, not domination. In our household, we recently finished watching the Our Planet series on Netflix. Have any of you seen this yet? Any hands raised? No? Okay. Well, if you have Netflix, go home and watch it. All right. It's a series of brief documentaries about various locations and types of life on this, our planet. The videographers give us breathtaking glimpses into intimate moments and sights in the natural world. Often the narrator says this is a moment never before captured on film. But each episode also includes glimpses at the human impact on these beautiful places and creatures, reminding us that we are in relationship with the natural world, whether we choose to acknowledge it or not. It also reminds us that we are not faithfully living out this calling as co-creators with God, as caretakers of God's good creation. We have forgotten who our God is and who we are within the life of God. And so the psalmist today calls us back to this calling, to this identity. Who am I? Who are you? Who are we that God is mindful of us, that God has put all things under our feet, not to stomp on, but to care for, not to dominate, but to delight in? This is the grace in which we stand, to borrow the Apostle Paul's words from Romans. This is the grace in which we stand, the invitation into the life of God, a life that was never meant to be disconnected from creation or from community and humanity, a relationship we so often neglect for the sake of our own convenience, a relationship that seasons of darkness in life can make us forget. And so then we stand also in the grace about which the Apostle Paul boasts in Romans, the grace of God who comes to us in Jesus Christ, who does the work of reconciliation and forgiveness for a people who think we can and should live outside of relationships with the earth and with one another. The God who sends God's Holy Spirit to create faith in Jesus Christ, the one who encounters us today in bread and wine, the meal of relationship, the feast of forgiveness. On this day of the holy mystery, the one in three, the three in one, now may you know that God comes to you today in this community of faith, in the Holy Spirit who brought you here, in music, in the earth on which you stand. And may you be reminded that God once again creates you, forgives you, and gives you the gift of faith. And God now invites you to share in this work of creation and forgiveness with the earth and with all of humanity. Thanks be to God. Amen.